Hey, welcome to the Go-To Physio Podcast. My name is Dave O'Sullivan, and in this podcast, my aim is to give you 15 years of my experience in professional sport and private practice and share that knowledge so that you can get real-world results with your complex patients who have failed traditional approaches. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, welcome to Go-To Physio Podcast, episode number 50. And today's episode is all about lower-level rehab that gets instant results for your patients. Now, today's episode, it's season 3, episode number 16. So this season's episode, we've been going deep into my Amazon number 1 best-selling book, Happy Progressing Patients. Now, you don't need a book for today's episode. You're going to get a lot of value that you can apply straight away. But if you do have the book, we're talking about chapter 12, page 191, okay? So low-level rehab that gets results. Why is this important? Now, in the last episode, we talked about hands-on techniques, and we talked about patients relying on hands-on techniques. And I said the biggest and easiest way to get your patients not to rely on your hands-on techniques is to recreate the feeling that hands-on techniques gives your patient with your rehab exercises. And that's what we're going to go into more detail today. So as I say, your patients don't like hands-on techniques. They like the feeling hands-on techniques gives them afterwards. Okay, so the question is for us now is how can we recreate this scenario where we can give the patient the same feeling with rehab exercises, that when they do the rehab exercises, they feel better and they feel different, just like they do when we do some hands-on techniques sometimes. Okay, so that's the big, big question. Now, just take a second to consider that. Now, on page 191, I talk a lot about the influence that Peter O'Sullivan had on my rehab approach, I suppose, over the past, you know, it's 6 years now. So in 2017, I went to one of his seminars and I looked at how he treated patients. And again, rather than just looking at, you know, how he treated people and copying it, I took a step back and I went, okay, what are the principles here he's adhering to? All right, noted them down. And I goes, okay, here's my system. How does this apply to my step-by-step system? And then that gave me a lot of power to actually implement a lot of that stuff in my system. So definitely want to give him credit with stuff like the Celia slouch that I designed. That was influenced on his work, okay? Now, in page 193, I talk about strategy versus tactics when designing rehab. Now, if you listen to the last episode on hands-on techniques, that should sound very familiar, because what we talked a lot about with hands-on techniques is getting off this rat race of using hands-on techniques on a tactical level, where every patient comes in and they're just getting the same techniques. We need to first look at the strategy that we're doing, understand, okay, here's where the patient is, here's where they want to get to, what's the obstacle, and what's the strategy we're going to do to get them from A to B, okay, or A to F, whatever the end goal is. It's the exact same thing with rehab, because rehab techniques, okay, low-level rehab techniques, they're essentially the same on a tactical level. They're the exact same as a hands-on technique. They're no better, they're no worse, okay, to a point. Now, I know people would argue, well, actually, hands-on techniques aren't as good if you can get the same result with rehab, okay? And I'd probably agree, okay? Now, with the rehab techniques, we need to go to a strategic level first and foremost, okay? So if you're just thinking tactically and you're just going, okay, well, I've got 4 or 5 exercises to strengthen the VMO, to strengthen the glutes, hamstrings, soleus, whatever it is, okay? Then that's going to be dangerous, because there's always going to be one patient who probably doesn't respond to that. Whereas if we can work on a strategic level, then we've got principles that we can modify specific to the patient's needs. So one of the big things to talk about on page 194 is coordinative low tolerance exercises. So low tolerance, I think, is the key thing here, okay? Now, why is low tolerance important? Well, low tolerance becomes important when we accept that the nervous system is the big, big player here that we're working with, okay? So obviously we're working with a person, but underneath there, you know, they're obviously consciously telling us a lot of stuff, but there's also a subconscious mind with that person, okay? And that's their partner, who's ultimately their beliefs, their opinions, their perception at a subconscious level is giving the output at the moment of how they're moving in their assessments, how they're responding, what they're feeling. So really what we need to influence is the subconscious level, okay? So that tolerance word, I think, is a really good word, because a lot of it, it's not necessarily about strength. It's about getting the subconscious mind and the nervous system to tolerate putting load through a lot of tissues again. So we know from the motor adaptations literature, and again, if you want a quick review of that, let me have a look here for you. It is an episode that I'd done this season, okay, where we started to look into the research of that. It's episode number 39, okay? So if you want to review the modern adaptations literature, I've done a whole episode on that on episode 39 recently. So we know that when the nervous system has a perceived threat or there's pain or potentially, you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be pain, but some kind of threat, that we tend to usually avoid loading the areas, okay? Or we redistribute the load between joints above and below, depending on if they have a chance to move the load completely away, or if they're on one leg, then they'll usually move it above or beyond or below the joint, okay? So again, that concept, I think, is really important when we design rehab exercises, because now we need to understand, okay, well, what am I trying to achieve with this rehab? And 99.9% of times what I'm trying to achieve my rehab is I'm trying to show the nervous system, not the person consciously, but subconsciously, that it's safe to tolerate this load. When we do that, we update the belief system. And very often then we can get a whole cascade of changes very quickly, but most importantly, long lasting. Okay. And that's what the coordinative exercises, I think, are really important, because that's where a lot of patients, they'll do all the strength exercises, but they're still have a lot of pain. Okay. And again, this whole point around, oh, well, you know, if you just get athletes strong, they're going to be fine. Okay. I work day in day out with probably some of the strongest athletes in the world. Okay. And a lot of them have pain. Okay, and I wish it was that simple. I genuinely wished all we had to do was strengthen tissues, but that's where the problem is when you're strengthening them, very often they're not loading some of the areas that we need to load to give back that movement variability, to give back that robustness and resilience. And they'll be doing funky things during the movements to ultimately avoid loading certain areas. But very often when we put these areas in positions where they have no choice but to tolerate load, okay, they can be very simple movements on a low level rehab. We can get changes very quickly, but most importantly, we can get long-lasting changes. So my approach in terms of the principles of the rehab, which we cover in page 196, some of the principles of coordinative load tolerance. Step one, identify point A, where the patient is currently, and point B, where you want to get them to. Okay, so this is where they're at. This is what isn't doing its job. This is where I need to get them to. Step two, identify which tissues are not tolerating load well to your assessment. So a few episodes back, this is episode 50 now. On episode 47, we talked about the importance of understanding a shopping basket approach with your objective assessment of what's not doing its job. Because now we've got power with that information where we can use a rehab to actually show these tissues that aren't tolerating load that it's safe to tolerate load, update the belief system, and get a whole cascade of changes very quickly. We need to clarify how these tissues must function as synergists and antagonists in the real world. So how are they working in the real world? So again, one of the biggest examples of this is your peroneals. Okay, your peroneals, the architecture of your peroneals, they go at a pinnate angle. They're designed to brace for long periods of time. They're not designed to evert and shorten lengthen in a long state. Okay, if anything, any change of length of those muscles, that sends a signal straight away to the spinal cord to go, hey, we are potentially under attack, because the peroneals have a very critical job to keep the body upright, okay, to stop us from falling over. So if they change length, that then sends a signal to the spinal cord, go contract, 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 keep me upright, challenge, don't allow me to fall over, okay? So in locomotion, peroneals are critical there, okay? The undulating surfaces, stuff like that. So an example of that is, if the peroneals need to brace us, they need to keep us upright, we can challenge the base of support without falling over. How do we create rehab exercises that's going to give the peroneals an opportunity to work and be successful like they have to work in the real world? So now all of a sudden, if I'm just doing my shortening and lengthening with a TheraBand for ankle sprain, is that going to carry over to the real world? Okay. If we do some of them exercises, will it improve, you know, the belief system that the nervous system, okay, is it happy to tolerate load? Okay, maybe. But is it working with agonist synergists? No. Okay. So that's one of the key principles that I try use all the time when I design rehab. Then at number four, I want to have a KPI that I can check pre and post intervention to gain an insight of whether the nervous system is actually interpreting this stimulus as a positive or negative. So again, before I do a rehab exercise, I want a KPI, do my rehab exercise, and either my KPI is improving, it's getting worse, or it's staying the same. Okay. And again, for increasing load tolerance and it stays the same, that's not necessarily a bad thing either. Then we want to, step five, put the body in a position at the appropriate point of greater exposure where we identify the tissues, where the identified tissues have no choice but to tolerate load. Okay, so you'll see the cilia slouch in that position, challenge the best support, relax the neck, relax the back. That allows me then an opportunity to put the sleaze in a position where they've no choice but to tolerate a load or they're going to fall over, essentially. Okay, so that's a key thing. Number six, challenge based support command the subconscious mind's attention. So when we challenge based support, we're now creating that instability, that threat response, which is good. Because now if there's a threat response, subconscious is on high alert. And remember, our rehab exercises are aimed at the subconscious. They're not aimed at the conscious mind. Remove any potential opportunities for the nervous system to cheat. Okay, so that would be an example with the sleeve slouch. Relax the neck, relax the back. Now the sleeve has to take all the load. The low back can't do much. Have instant feedback for both the patient and therapist to allow them clearly see where the patient's nervous system is using a motor adaptation strategy. So again, example of sleeve slouch. Is the knee staying still or is the knee snapping back as they come back up again? Okay, and then step nine, allow the patient's nervous system opportunity to self-organize and figure it out with plenty of repetitions at appropriate speed of movement. So again, the sleeve slouch, you know, we're not using a whole lot of cues here. We let the nervous system figure it out, high levels of tension. Then step 10, recheck the KPI, ensure the exercise is having a positive influence on the patient's ability to move towards point B. So are we getting one step closer on the graded exposure ladder? Okay, so that's really, really important to understand. Okay, so I also talk about in the book about six other steps to design exercises for deliberate practices based on the work of James Clear, Order of Atomic Habits. Okay, I'm not going to go into that today. Okay, but the one thing I would say with that is that it's all about deliberate practice. It's all about connecting with that subconscious. Okay, there's also examples of the sleeve slouch. Okay, page 202. Okay, and then there's also some examples of how to take this into upper level rehab as well, or upper limb rehab, because it's the exact same principles. And that's the power of getting strategy and principles. Once you want to have a step-by-step system that operates on principles and strategy, your rehab exercises take care of themselves. So to summarize today, if you want long-lasting changes with patients, if you want to give them the same feeling, the hands-on techniques, give them, then we have to be operating and targeting our rehab, or low-level rehab certainly, to the subconscious mind, okay, and the nervous system, rather than just thinking about strengthening. When I can get that low tolerance, then I put strength on top of it, okay? So we show the nervous system it's safe to tolerate load, and then we start putting external weight through. But very often with the low level rehab, you do not need external weight to do this. You can stress the body, challenge the base of support. You do not need external weights to create a big, big stress on the nervous system, create an adaptation, a stress response, and then ultimately update the belief system, and you'll see changes very, very quickly. Okay, so I hope that was useful. If you're one of these therapists who just focus on strengthening exercises, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's nothing wrong with that, but just think about, okay, well, what tissues aren't tolerating load? And then that's where we might use top-down cues as well to reinforce that. So for example, with the peroneals, when they're deadlifting, maybe we want to think about consciously having more intent through the ball, a big toe, as they actually lift the weight up for the first few sessions, to make sure that they actually load the peroneals and ball a big toe rather than keeping the weight on the outside of the foot. So that might be an example of that, where it's useful to understand these cheats that they do. And again, you're going to see the cheats in the objective assessment, okay? And then we can really use that then to take our rehab level, rehab to the next level, okay? So little bit of a change in focus from strength to more coordinated load tolerance and then strength. Okay, so it's the step before strength. And that's very often where a lot of patients will come see me. They've done all the strength work, seen very good clinicians. They've done all the eccentrics and the strengthening, but they're still in pain. Okay, and very often then when we change our focus to more of a coordinated based approach, get these tissues an opportunity to have a stimulus that they have to work like in the real world, show the nervous system it's safe, we update the belief system, and we get changes very quickly. Okay, so hope that was useful. If you want any more information, if you want to know how to put this together into your step-by-step system, and you want to build a strategic step-by-step system for your patients, then head over to thegotophysio.com/mentorship. You can schedule a call with either myself or Shane, my head physio. We can have a chat, and we can show you how the mentorship can transform your confidence to help any patient who comes through your door. Okay, so that's it for this week. I'll see you again for another episode in the coming weeks. Have a great week ahead. Make a massive impact on your patients' lives, getting long-lasting results, and always giving more value than taking payment. I'll see you next week.